The Art of Leadership Network.
Hey friends, it's Adam. I hope you're doing well. You're listening to The Conversation, and today we are doing something totally new. We're doing a podcast series on The Conversation. And before I tell you more about it, if you listen often, you know that each week I say our hope is if you're trying to figure out how to make a difference with your life or you're walking through an unpretty part of being human, we want you to know that you are not alone. Well, in this series, we are doing just that. We are talking about the unpretty part of being human, and we want you to know that you are not alone. I genuinely believe this series is going to connect with people big time, and so I just want to say, if this episode connects with you, go and click the subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode in this series. Also, please share it with others. Text it to a friend. Share it on your social. On that note, friends, let's jump in. So I'm here with therapist, not to mention my good friend, Jason Van Ruler. And this is a podcast series where our hope is to answer honest, messy questions around sex, pornography, and infidelity. Specific questions that so many of us have, if not all of us, but we might feel ashamed or embarrassed to actually talk with someone about it, to actually ask the questions. In this series, our hope is to answer these questions from two perspectives, specifically from a therapist's perspective with Jason, and also from a pastor's perspective from myself. Today, though, just to jump right into it, here is the overall specific question we're going to try to answer. What do I do if I'm struggling with pornography? Again, what do I do if I'm struggling with pornography? Now, some quick stats just to share. 1 in 3 Americans seek out porn at least once a month. Up to 65% of young adult men and 18% of young women report watching pornography at least one time a week. So that's some stats. Maybe before we get to the overall question, though, what's the big deal about pornography in general? From a faith perspective, from a non-faith perspective, why bad? Why is it a bad thing?
Yeah. And I think this is a great question. And it's one that I get quite often, actually, because people will say, well, if I'm not a faith person, then what argument is there? And so I will just go back to, and I know we were kind of talking about this, is how's it working for your marriage? How is this benefiting your relationship? When you look at pornography, do you in turn have greater intimacy with your partner? Now, we both kind of chuckle because probably not, right? I mean, the answer to that is usually no. Okay, so if I'm doing something that's actively chipping away at the intimacy in my relationship, why am I doing that?
Yeah. Even I got a question when I asked on Instagram, the person said, why is it considered cheating if I look at pornography? And I think the underlying question is, why is it a bad thing at all? Just some things, some common damaging effects of pornography. I found this on Google. This is a disclaimer. Is addiction, isolation, increased aggression, distorted beliefs and perceptions around relationships and sexuality, negative feelings about themselves, neglecting other areas of their lives. And then some stats that I thought were powerful. Married couples with one spouse watching porn are 2 to 3 times more likely to divorce in the first 2 years of marriage than porn-free couples. Do you have people who try to convince you that porn is not a bad thing?
I do. I mean, it's a back and forth, right? And so some people will really advocate for it.
It increases my sex life.
Yeah, it does something for them. But I think where we run into trouble is that relationally, that argument falls apart. And I would even argue, just in the long term personally. So even if we take faith out of that, it's not beneficial long term.
Yeah.
Even if you're alone. So even if you're a single person, you say, I'm not hurting my relationship, I just use it for me. Walk me through how that helps long term. It doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't. And so then what people will kind of come back to is, well, you know, I'm just in this season and this is just a thing I do right now. And then when I get in a relationship, I'll change. Yep. Or if it gets out of control, I'll stop. And so where I kind of go next is I'll say, like, okay, at what point of frequency would it be a problem and you need to stop? Okay. And they'll usually say, well, if I did it X amount of times, see in the next time, like, how many times have you done it? And they're like, well, you know, it was a really hard month. And so I kind of went a little bit over, but I'm going to pull it together this month. And so that's really the issue with it, is that I think almost anybody, it's really unmanageable and it is not helpful for our relationships or intimacy.
That's good. I will add really quick before we continue on, from a spiritual level, I would say that it separates us, as does anything, it separates us from God and all that he is. Not in this like you shouldn't and you're a bad Christian sort of way, but no, anything that's not pleasing to God separates us from his joy and his peace and his goodness and his love. We'll talk about like forgiveness and what that looks like later, but I don't want to be separated from any of those things I know in my own life. And yet things that I do cause that. Jesus, specifically when thinking about lust and just pornography, Jesus is a little harsh at times, but I think he's saying it because it's for our good, not in this wrong way. But in Matthew 5, 28 through 29 is where Jesus says, you know, you've heard it said, don't have an affair. But I say, if your eye causes you to lust, cut it out. And again, these extreme measures. Do I think Jesus literally wants us to cut out our eyes? I would say no. But he is trying to heighten this matters so much. It impacts your soul. It impacts your relationship with him and your relationship with others. Okay. So if we decide pornography is not a good thing, what do I do if I'm struggling with pornography? What steps that I should take? What would you say to me if that's me right now?
Yeah. I think the first thing I would say to you is, thanks for telling me, because it's really hard to talk about. There are some things where you can struggle with and it's like you get a high five for talking about it, or it makes you cooler or a better person, or like there's this kind of fun club, you know, Adam, I'm struggling with having 6-pack abs and I just want to talk to you about that. And I hope you help me. Cool. Like that's, yeah. I'm proud of that. Right.
Yeah.
But if I say, hey, I'm really struggling looking at pornography a couple times a week, I don't feel as good. Like, I don't think there's a t-shirt for that.
Yeah.
And so I think the first thing you have to do is recognize, number one, you're not alone. I mean, as the stats tell us, like you are most definitely not alone, even though you feel that way. And I know this is your area more than mine, but I mean, I think that the lie the devil teaches us is that we're alone in that. And so the first step is to step out of that aloneness and tell somebody.
Yep. I think there's a reason just to get on that. Confess your sins to one another. I don't think we need to, obviously, because Jesus and he's our mediator and high priest. But I think for me, why we're told to do that is when we bring something to light, when we tell a trusted friend, or more importantly, we tell God, it flips the light on in the dark room we're standing in. Anytime we're in darkness, spiritual darkness, whatever it looks like, it's easy to believe the lie that it's a lot scarier. Like you're never going to overcome this. This is who you are, that you are damaged goods. But anytime you flip the light on, it's like, oh, whoa, it's not as scary now. And oh, that's actually lies that someone else is telling me, whether it's Satan or somebody else. Now I can actually begin to deal with it. So I think there's so much power in just that initial telling somebody. What do I do from there? So I tell someone, whether it's a therapist, a close friend, I know for me, whether guys and gals, it's like, I've battled this for so long. I don't know what to do.
Right. Yeah. And so the first step of telling somebody is oftentimes a big step, but I think then the next thing you want to do is just what I always call like the low hanging fruit. So just reduce the ability to be impulsive. Because a lot of this is we're impulsively doing it, and it's just so accessible that we fall into it in a matter of seconds. You know, we both know if we pulled out our phone now, we decided in this instant we wanted to look at something, we could look at it.
Yep.
Like that could just happen right now, and it caused all these problems, but literally in 3 seconds we did that. And so what I'll tell clients is that find a way to reduce the ability to be impulsive. So if that's getting monitoring software or doing, you know, screen time or locking your phone up, whatever that is, make it so it's difficult to do the wrong thing.
That's so good. I have to jump on this really quick. I'm going through Atomic Habits right now.
Yeah.
James Clear talks about, he said, most people think that there's a certain great group of people who just have a stronger will. And like, they're just like, they just have this self-control. He's like, not true. There's just certain people who are really good at being able to remove the temptation. It's just not being there.
I think in admitting the problem, we have to push our ego and our pride to the side and just say, like, that is where I'm at. Because I talk to people and they say, like, oh, so I'm a guy now that has to have this on my phone or it has to limit. Yeah, you are. I mean, if you want to do this, you are. Yep. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to. But if you want to get better, that's what it takes. So do the easy thing first. And for some people, that'll be enough. They'll say, well, you know what I found out is like when I'm bored at work, I'm impulsive and this happens. And now that I have to like creatively think of a way to do it, I actually don't do it anymore. Maybe that's enough, right? Yeah. Maybe that was just an impulsive thing that you did. If it's bigger than that, then we need to talk more about it and where it's coming from.
So it happened to that. If that, if it is more, what does that look like from there?
Yeah. So if it's more, I want to know the why, right? So a lot of people understand that they don't like the behavior. It's hurtful. They understand what that does really, really well, but they don't understand why they do it. And in my experience of working with lots and lots of different people, I've literally never met anybody that didn't understand their why, because their why was from like a very typical human need, right? My why is I want to feel better. My why is I want to feel powerful. My why is I want to cope, like all these very valid reasons. But we have to kind of understand what wound do we have that's leading us to cope.
That's good.
Because when we understand that, we deal with the wound, we actually get better.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What people do sometimes, and I understand it, but it's mistaken, is they just really tend to the problem and they just say, like, I just need to make sure I can't look at porn without understanding why they look at it.
Yeah.
And if you don't know why you look at it, you're probably not going to stop doing it.
Other specific things that you could say away from seeing a therapist that you're just like, gosh, this would be is like accountability. Has that been something that's helpful? Like if I have a guy who asks me, is that an helpful thing? Like what are some other, like anything else practical wise that you think?
I think accountability is good, right? So community, I think, is often missing in people who struggle with this because it is isolating.
Yeah.
And so I hate to replace myself and my job, but I often tell clients, like if you had community, you might not need to talk to me as much. Because the thing is when we feel isolated and alone, we cope and we cope on our own and we cope with what works and what has historically worked, even if it's not the best thing for us. If every time you're going to look at porn, I had to call you and say, hey, Adam, how's it going? And you're like, what do you do? And I'm like, well, I'm going to look at porn for like 30 minutes and then probably have some supper and stuff. And like, probably wouldn't look at porn very much. Right. I'm guessing you're not going to be like, oh, well, that sounds great. Yeah. What are you looking at today? So I think develop community. I think develop some accountability. Have some people in your life that care about you and ask. But really, on a simple note, it's just developing a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah.
Because if we're doing the stuff we need to do to be healthy just as a person, this is a lot less of a problem.
That's so good. Okay, so a question that I know is there. Do I tell my significant other?
Yeah.
Do I tell my boyfriend, my girlfriend? Do I tell my husband, my wife? Do I tell them? That's the first question. Okay. Second question, how? And is there times that I shouldn't, if the answer is you should tell them?
This is an easy question.
Yeah, well, I'm just, even pastorally, sometimes I don't know.
Yeah, what do you tell somebody in that situation?
When I get to that, I'm like, this feels out of my league. I'd encourage you to talk to a therapist. Because I don't know this. I don't know the specifics. I don't know how your spouse will react. I don't know if it will be more damaging or not. So honestly, I encourage people to see you.
Okay.
It's literally Jason Van Ruhlen.
That's great. Okay. You're like, talk to Jason. Here's what I would tell you. If you are struggling with alcoholism, should you tell your partner?
Yes.
Why?
Because they can help me to know that this is a thing and that, gosh, like even just, hey, it's unhelpful when we do this together. It's unhelpful when we go to this certain place together. So I think just the awareness piece with that specific thing, I think it would only be beneficial. And also to bring some understanding, not to give me permission to be an alcoholic and this is why, but hey, this is why some of my behavior. When you see me doing X, Y, or Z, it's probably not good. Like almost just to tell my spouse the red flags.
Yeah.
If you see me getting quiet, and I'm naturally not quiet, that's not good. If you see me wanting to hang out with this friend, not a good thing. That's what I'd say back.
Perfect. So how is this different?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's different in that, you know, the topic is different, but it's
it feels like it'd be more. It feels like it could potentially cause hurt.
Yep, it will. Yeah. I mean, so that's the challenge is, you know, if you're struggling with alcoholism, it doesn't feel like it's about me, right? But if you're struggling with pornography, if my partner is, it feels like that's about me.
Yeah.
And how would it not? Right? Because it feels like if I were only enough or only looked this way or said this or behaved like this, then you wouldn't. Okay. So I'm going to just tell you, like, that makes so much sense to me. And it's really very rarely, if ever, the case.
Yeah.
I mean, I think about literally at this point, over 1,000 clients I've worked with. I can think of maybe one or two times someone said, like, this is about my person. It usually has nothing to do with the person. Hard to believe, though.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Right. Yeah. If somebody tells me, you know, I go home, my wife says, hey, I'm looking at, you know, pornography and I'm, you know, looking at guys who aren't Dutch and they're not 5'11 and they have dark hair. But it's not about you. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's a tough sell.
Yeah.
Right. That's a real tough sell. So I get that. And it is going to hurt. But it hurts more to find out. And if you could manage it on your own, you would have, I think.
So I should tell my spouse how, or is there any like advice on when, obviously not in a room full of people, you know, like there's right. common sense things, but how, like, do I have a friend with like a friend? Where do I even think about? Yeah.
Yeah. So what I'll challenge people is I think the most hurtful way to share it is to just simply offload the problem.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm struggling with pornography. It's not about you. Ugh. Boy, I feel better. I feel so good because now I don't have to be the only one to carry this. And you just sit there going, I don't.
Yeah, that really.
I don't feel good.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're going to share this with your person, for one, it can be very trust building because you're acknowledging an issue before they have to discover it. Number two is they will be hurt. So expect that. Don't try to talk them out of it. Don't say that they shouldn't feel the way they do. Let them feel however they feel. And number three, don't you share it with them unless you are doing something about it. Otherwise, I don't want to hear about it. So if you're going to tell somebody you're struggling with pornography, then you better tell them the three things you're doing. I've got a meeting with a therapist. I'm talking to Adam. I put a blocker on my computer. Share what you're doing, not just the problem, because it is completely unfair to just offload the problem.
Oh, that is all. That's so good. Is there an instance with pornography that I shouldn't tell my significant other?
I think unless you have some sort of agreement, you know, in your relationship where you say, you know, what we do on our own is, you know, we don't talk about that, or it's not each other's business, or if you've said, you know, that's allowed in the relationship.
Yeah.
I think if we have some sort of pre-existing agreement about that, maybe not, but most people don't.
Yeah. Specifically, I would say from a Christian's perspective, you shouldn't have that. But that, right. And I love that you even said that, because there might not be people here who follow Jesus. And I always say, I would never expect someone who doesn't follow Jesus to follow Jesus.
You can do it differently.
I just to answer my own question. If I felt that personally as a Jesus follower, like I have no plans on changing it. I have some things that I need to deal with God.
There's some conversations that need to happen.
Yeah,
right?
God's like, well, I have veto power over you, Mr. Weber.
Right.
And I'm saying you are going to deal with it.
Right. And maybe you need to learn what your options are before you present it. So yeah. I might talk to you first,
yep.
And you might say, here's three things you can do. And then I might go talk to my person.
Yeah.
Right. So there's an argument in my mind for having a plan, as opposed to just offloading this. But I think if this is a struggle you're having, they probably want to know, or at least they should have the opportunity to say they don't want to know.
Yep.
Right. So if you say, like, hey, there's a thing about porn that I kind of want to talk to you about, are you interested in hearing about it? If they say, no, I don't care. Okay. I guess that's their decision.
That's good. Two last questions. Why should someone talk with a therapist rather than just a pastor? And why should someone talk with a pastor and not just the therapist if you're struggling with pornography? What would you say to that?
Yeah. Well, I think both are important.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, being a faith person is you're not going to get better without all the best parts of faith, like grace and forgiveness and hope. Yeah. And so you need all of that. But you also probably need somebody who typically walks people through this process. So you need both parts.
Yep.
And I think where people sometimes miss it is they do one but not the other. And you need both.
You need both. And I would say the same exact answer. A pastor specifically can help you spiritually. Maybe there's some deeper things with your view of God and who you, God's not a drill sergeant. He's a loving father. And some things there, but so often Christians totally want to like, well, that's feel self-help to go see a therapist. No, it's called wisdom. Just like you go to a doctor when something's wrong with your knee, like you don't [S2] Right. [S1] Go to a pastor for your knee. I can pray for your knee and God's healing on your knee and that he gives you strength to make it through the surgery with a surgeon. But I think it's so critically important to have both. Last thing, what would you say to just speaking to the person who's struggling with pornography, what would you want them to hear like care wise from a therapist? And I'll share what I would say pastorally too. And maybe it's crossover.
Yeah. Well, and just by the way, this explains why you never fixed my knee that time.
That's right. That's exactly.
It wasn't that helpful. Yeah, it wasn't.
You're gonna have to ask Jesus about that one. I prayed for that. I prayed for that knee.
I believe you did. I think. Let's see. What would I want them to know is just you're not alone. This is a very prevalent problem. Pornography is constructed to make you look at it more often, and so just know you're falling into that does not make you a bad person, and there is hope. You know, I always tell people like that's why I do my job is because there's hope. And if I didn't have hope, like it'd be a very depressing job. But I literally see people come to me with this issue and end up better than when they started. So there is hope there. There is promise. You're not alone, but you do have to do the work. I know you can speak more to this, but God is there with you.
Yeah.
So even in that darkness, you are not alone.
Yeah.
It feels like you are, but you aren't.
And what I would want to say just to add to it is you're loved by God even now. I'm so thankful we don't clean ourselves up before we go to God, just like we don't clean ourselves up before taking a shower. It's like, no, you're loved fully, completely right now. And he wants to walk through this with you. And he's waiting for you to invite him into even this place, which I think is so important. Ask for his strength, ask for his love. And also, there's nothing that we cannot be forgiven of. As far as the East is from the West, he offers to forgive us and of our sin and to make us new and, doesn't even make us better. He makes us brand new, which is a wonderful thing to know. Again, crew, I hope this conversation encouraged you. If it did, go ahead and click the subscribe button. Next week, we're going to be answering the specific question, what do I do if my significant other is struggling with pornography? An episode and conversation I know is going to connect with so many people. So subscribe. Also, please share this episode with others. Text it to a friend. Share it on your social. If you would, go and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. On that note, friends, have a great day.